Before I read, I want you to just, well, I don't know who's supposed to pray today, but I'm going to pray. Let me read my text first. Matthew 11 and 2. Matthew 11 and 2, now when John heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, go and show John again these things which you do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them. I want to preach to you after we pray on the topic looks can be deceiving. But I want you to pray with me this morning, and I want you to just shake yourself out of your holiday funk for just a moment. And I'd like to ask you to lift your hands toward heaven and lift your voice together as we call upon the Lord and invite him into this place today. Lord Jesus, we love you today, God. We honor you above all else this morning. And we thank you, Jesus, for all of your goodness. We thank you, Lord God, for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for your kindness. God, we ask you to have your way this morning in this place, Lord Jesus. I pray that you would touch every mind, oh God, and every person that's here right now. God, I speak against every spirit of discouragement or distraction. God, I pray that your angels would walk up and down these aisles this morning because we've come into this place and we might not know how bad we need your word this morning. We might not even understand, oh God, how bad we need to be touched by heaven today. I pray against every spirit of the adversary. Lord, I rebuke the things of Satan in the name of Jesus Christ, that there would be a peace, God, in this place this morning. Lord, that your glory would overshadow us today and that you would speak into our hearts. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Would you say amen with me? God bless you. You can be seated. In this text, John the Baptist is in prison. And I don't know that we can say for certainty how much time he has spent in prison. But what we do know is he became weary. You can only look at those walls for so long. You can only look at those shackles that hold you fast for so long. You can only look at the bars that hold you in. The process, 3 meals a day whenever you get them, when they want to serve you, you have no independence, you have no freedom, you have no liberty. It appears as if all hope is lost. His release did not happen as he may have thought it would be. He may have thought that when he was thrown in prison, that the Lord would have bailed him out, if you please. There was no pardon that was on the table. And he probably had come to the place where he felt like his death was imminent. And so at this time, the scripture says that he sent two of his disciples and he said to them, ask him, are you he, or should we look for another? That is what happens when you begin to look at the wrong things for too long. That's what happens when your circumstances begin to surround you and close in to the point where you feel as if you have no hope. The Lord's answer was very interesting, and it's something that we should look at just for a moment closely. Because he answered this, he said, go and show John again those things which you do hear and see. John was unable to partake in what Jesus was still doing outside the prison walls, but there were those that were still there with the Lord, and they were still witnessing the many, many miracles that were happening, and the people that were being delivered But John, being stuck in prison, he became consumed in his own world of despair. And because he became consumed in his own world of despair, he began to look away from the things of the Lord. He had nothing to balance his despair out. And so Jesus sent unto him disciples that were still able to see what was being done. And he said to them, go and show him the things that you see and hear. Because John was unable to see or hear the things of God the Lord sent unto him, because it was necessary in order to build John's faith back up to show unto him the things that they had seen and hear. You would call it in our day, in our world, a testimony. When somebody is unable to see what God is doing in their own life, when they're unable to hold on to a glimmer of hope, when they have reached the end of their rope or the end of their road, that's when the Lord would have somebody who is still in the thick of things take their testimony to that individual and build their faith, not because of what they see or hear, but because of what you have seen and heard. Are you getting my drift yet? Because of his prison walls, he was unable to look on the things that God was doing. And when you and I cannot, will not, or do not look on his kingdom, we lose sight of the gospel and his plan. Jesus, knowing this, told his disciples, you go to John and you answer him with what you have seen and heard. You understand what I'm telling you? Everybody falls into that place at some time in their life. Everybody falls into a place of despair. Many people fall into that, and that is the moment where they walk away from God. It's not because of anything other than they are surrounded by their situation, and they are looking at the wrong things, and their eyes are no longer fixated upon the things of God. Listen to me. If your eyes stay fixated on heaven, it is impossible for this world to swallow you up. But sometimes you might say, I can only take so many blows, Pastor. I can only deal with it for so long. And that may be true, and you may not be able to do something of your own accord. But I can tell you this for a certainty, that everybody is not where you are. And there are people in this place today. Your walls have closed in around you, and there are people in your life whose walls have closed in around them. And you've heard them even as of late questioning God, questioning the things of God, questioning if it's really right, if this is really right for you, or if it's really right for them. And I want you to understand something this morning, that it's imperative that during those times, somebody who's still in the thick of it, somebody who's still witnessing the things that God is doing, it's times like those that we need to be the voice for those who can't speak, and we need to be the ears for those that cannot hear, and we need to be able to impart our vision into them at the most tragic time of their life. I found this theme to be very common in the scriptures. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 3, the Bible says, speaking of the lame beggar who, seeing Peter and John go about into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. This beggar had spent too many years looking at life from the position of a lame man. I need somebody very quickly. I want you to sit down there on the floor as if you have no use of your legs. And so this beggar had spent many years, it might seem funny for the moment, but if he had to spend the rest of his life like that, I promise you he wouldn't be the one that would be laughing. He cannot see no higher than what clear line of sight he has. And sometimes in the crowd he may get lost. I want you to do me a favor and just drag yourself down there and just go around the sanctuary like that. Go ahead, I want you to do it. I need you to do it because you're going to mess up with my whole sermon if you don't. However you feel like you need to, go. Now, as funny as it may seem, consider in a time where there were not wheelchairs and there were not crutches and there were not all the fancy things that people have today in order to help get them around. As funny as it might seem, that's the view that lame man had every single day of his life. And every day of his life, he was only looking up at the people that would so easily walk by him. And because they were able to walk, they were able to work. And because they were able to work, they had a sustenance. And so as those people walked by the lame man, he would look up. He would look up at them and he would hold out his hand expecting something, because poor him, he's not able. And so when Peter and John walked by, the Bible says that he was still imprisoned in his own little world. He did not expect anything other than what he got every other day, which was a handout. And so he looked up at them with his hands out, hoping they would have compassion on him. And they said, "We don't have what you're looking for, but look on us. Look at me. I'm a living example of the things of God. We are a living testimony of Jesus Christ." They wanted him to see something other than their own situation, other than their own circumstance. They wanted, now, unfortunately, many people in our hour, because we are living in a time where socialism, and I'm not being political, I'm being factual, has sweeping over our land, and we'd rather sit at home and let the government send you a stimulus check once every 6.5 months rather than get up and go and provide for yourself, because God has blessed you with 2 legs and 2 hands, and he's blessed you with the ability to go and provide for your home. And that's what you call people who get angry when the government doesn't send them more money. They are the lame beggar. They're used to being in that position of helplessness. They have no vision. And where there's no vision, the people perish. And so their future perishes. Their family perishes. Any hope that they would have to have anything better than what they have at the moment is completely swallowed up in the world of being a lame beggar. And so Peter and John walked by and they looked up like they did everybody else with his hand held out. And they said, "We don't have anything to give you, but look on us. We are a testimony." And because he looked elsewhere other than his situation changed. We find the same situation, you can get up. We find the same scenario with the disciples that were in the ship as their world was crashing around them via 8-9 foot waves, and they felt like their ship was going to be torn apart. They went down and they cried out to Jesus, not in hope, but in despair. They didn't cry out asking him to stop the madness. They cried out asking him what to do. "We don't understand what to do." The same thing as when Peter stepped out of his boat. The Bible says he initially moved out in faith. I want you to hear me, because there are many people today under the sound of my voice. You initially stepped out in faith. Some of you are here today simply because you trusted what God was doing at the moment in your life. But the moment the things in your life change and the circumstances change, the moment the storms get so overwhelming to the point where you feel like there's no way I can get out of this, my life will never change, nothing's ever going to be different, it's at that moment that Peter took his eyes off of Jesus and he began to focus on the wind and the waves that were crashing in around him, ready to collapse and swallow him up. And how interesting it is that as he stood on the water, as he walked in a way, in a place that nobody should walk, it wasn't the waves that swallowed him up. It was his lack of faith that caused him to sink. He was fine with the winds and the waves around him, but he began to sink where he was standing because he took his eyes off of the Lord. But it's not just our plight, but also our distractions. When David became too focused on the distraction that we call Bathsheba. He lost sight of who he was in the Lord, and he went down a path that cost others their life and cost him his righteousness. All because as a blessed and favored king of God, placed on his throne by God himself, he put his eyes on something other than what he should have. And because of that, he began to lose sight of who he was as a man of God. He began to lose sight of who he was as one that is called of God. And before it was all said and done, David was in that place we preached about Wednesday night, where his conscience was seared, and he was able to take Uriah and put him on the front line of the battlefield in hopes that he would be brutally killed in that battlefield, and he could have what he wanted without anybody to push back against him. Eve took her eyes off of the word of God, and she became inebriated by the words of a deceiver. That cost her her entire garden and her place within the garden, all because of one piece of fruit. The scripture says it was when the serpent talked to her and told her she would not die. The Bible says, and when she saw that the tree was good for food and one to be desired and to make one wise, she took her eyes off of the commandments of the Lord. The Lord said, of every tree of the garden you can eat, but of this tree you cannot eat. So every day she just walked by and she paid it no mind because the Lord said. But the moment she started looking at it, the moment she took her eyes off of the rest of the entire garden, all of this is yours, but you've got to have that which you're not supposed to have, because it's human nature to have that which we're not supposed to have. It's human nature to desire more than what God has given us. And when we take our eyes off of what God has done and we begin to desire things he has not given us for whatever reason or another, it leads us down a road that will never end. And the only end that will be when we leave this earth away from God, out of his grace, out of his covering, and we make our journey then into eternity in a lake of fire. That is what it's all designed to do. In each one of these situations, if they would just have realized, looks can be deceiving. John the Baptist was deceived by what he was looking at around him. He forgot that the Lord was still on the throne and that miracles were still happening. Just because I'm here doesn't mean Jesus isn't doing it again. Doesn't mean miracles aren't still happening. People's lives aren't still being changed. The same goes with the others that we mentioned here. We talked about the beggar. And because he spent too much time in that situation, he could not imagine anything else other than his life being what it was. I wonder how many people are in this place today that you are so wrapped up in your world, and I don't mean that as a negative thing. You are so consumed by it that you've never once thought you can have more than what you have. You've never once thought that it can be better than what it is. You've never once thought that you could have peace, because you're so used to turmoil and you're so used to chaos that you've never imagined that there's more on the other side of your walls than what you'll ever begin to imagine. And it's appropriate to talk about socialism when you talk about the blind beggar, because we are living in a time where our government wants to imprison every single person. They're not going to throw you behind a cell and lock the door. There's not enough of those. But they want to imprison the populace in our own minds. They want to get you to think the way they want you to think. That's not conspiracy. That's fact. You take it how you will and do whatever with it what you want. But if I were you, I'd trust the voice of the man of God than I would to Fauci. I'd be looking to heaven more than I would the White House. I'd be looking to the things of God more than I would the scientist. I wish I had somebody that would listen to what I've got to say to you today. And then to recap, David lost sight of his righteousness because of the look that was deceiving to him. There's no question when David looked at Bathsheba, there's no question that same serpent was there on his balcony. Maybe not in literal form, but there is no question that he whispered in his ear, "You're the king. You can have whatever you want. You can do whatever you want. There's nobody to oppose you." And just that little whisper was enough to keep his eyes on that which his eyes should not have been upon. We talked about Eve. We know what happened. Same thing with Elijah's servant. The Bible says he became fixated on this, on the armies that opposed them, and thought they were going to die, until Elijah had to pray for God to open his eyes and see that what was there that was not visible to the naked eye was greater than what was there that was visible to the eye. I wonder how we would react if we would be able to understand what takes place in the spirit every time you get down on your knees, every time you open up your Bible, every time you step foot in the house of God to fellowship with the people of God. But unfortunately, we get too distracted and we lay our eyes on things that we shouldn't, whether it be in a lustful way or whether it be in a broken way. Either or, the same results are the same results. And it was no different for the 10 spies. They could not see the victories that the Lord had already done for them. All they could see, they couldn't even see the promise. All they could see was the walls and the giants. That was it. Even with evidence, that's how feeble we are as humans. Even when God would have evidence in front of you, might not be a big bushel of grapes, but I'll tell you what it was. It's the presence and the power of God. It's the confirming word of God. I got a question for you. How many services do you have to sit in when the Lord preaches exactly what your conversation was just a few moments or a few days before? If I could tell you the amount of people over the years that have said to me, "You have preached verbatim what I just had a discussion about. I couldn't even put them in a book." It's not because I'm smart. It's because God is omnipresent. And because God will always be there. He knows everything about you. And God confirms those things when they come from the pulpit, from the mouth of an ignorant man, to prove to you that my promises are still true. And I'm still greater. And I still see everything. And I know the beginning from the ending. Sometimes you got to go back and you got to dig from the old wells rather than trying to dig new wells. You got to unclog the old wells rather than seeking new ways, new age stuff. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to keep saying it as long as you sit here on a Sunday morning. The Lord is preparing. I would feel in the Holy Ghost, if I were to try and paint a picture for you, I would say that he's got the troops ready and they're getting their gear on and they're rounding everything up and they're making their final preparations before he comes for his church. And in the meantime, the devil knows he has but a short time. So he's going to go around and he's going to try to get you to get focused on your circumstance, on your plight, or on some other babe or something, anything that will take your eyes off of eternity, anything that will take your eyes off of the glory of God, anything that will cause you to sit in church and not feel moved by the presence or the power of God, anything to disrupt what God is doing, to disrupt the flow in your life. These things that we've talked about, these are the things that cause people to lose sight of the harvest. The scripture says in John chapter 4, verse 35, if you want to turn there with me, it says, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, And then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. So what he was saying was, stop putting off into the future what the inevitable is. But because they weren't looking at the harvest field, because their eyes were fixated on the things within the world, they could not even tell that the harvest fields were already white. The tops were already white, and it was time to bring in the sickle and the scythe. They were looking at the things of this world, and in essence, they failed to see the harvest that was ready right now. We've got people who aren't doing anything to affect the kingdom of God because they don't realize the time and the season that we're in, because their eyes are somewhere else. People that don't have time for a Bible study, or don't have time to go witness to somebody or knock on their door. And they don't even realize the harvest is ripe. It's ready to be brought in. But because their eyes are on everything else, it's exactly what the adversary does. And when we neglect the harvest, we reject our great commission, which is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's why it matters. So we tend to look at what surrounds us. And here's the thing about this looking. This looking brings a multitude of emotions that will cause us to make life-altering decisions based off of this. Fear causes people to run. Anxiety causes people to hide. Sadness causes people to give up. The same with depression. Pressure causes people to throw in the towel because they don't think they can take it anymore. Sometimes that emotion is the feeling of failure. And you allow the adversary to say to you, you have nothing to offer God. You allow him to say to you, there's nothing the Lord can do with you because you're just this big old failure. And then those emotions lead to people giving up. That's why people walk away from God. That's why, because their eyes are on other things. It could be a woman. It could be a prison cell. I'm not quite sure what it is today for anybody in this building or those who I hope that are home online watching. But I've come to tell you today that looks can be deceiving. As long as the Lord Jesus Christ still sits on the throne, your walls are never too close that he can't get in. As he proved when he shook the prison cells and opened up the gates and let Peter out. He's proved to us that the waves can never be so high that in a moment he can speak the words, peace, and everything at that moment will go into a perfect state of calm. But when we lose sight of who he is because we have set our sights on other things, it's very easy to allow our circumstances to swallow us up. These times that people take their eyes off of Jesus because they don't like what they see. Heard things said over the years. People have told me it was easier in the world. Why bother coming, Pastor? Nothing's changing. Because they look with their eyes. They don't see what God has done in the Spirit. They don't see the things that God has released them from. They don't see the things that God has protected them from. They don't see the things that God has advanced them to and through. All they see is the moment and the situation. And looks can be deceiving. Because as we learn time and time again in the Scripture, it does not matter how bad the circumstance is, God will always make a way if we'll let him stay in charge of everything. The entire Exodus out of Egypt was all about teaching them, Don't become distracted by what you see or what you don't see. Just keep your eyes on me. Keep your eyes on the leadership that I've placed in your life. Just listen. Just trust. Just hear my voice. But when people become disenfranchised, they look for things that are more appealing, things that are more friendly to the flesh. Are you with me this morning? Things that are more peaceful. But none of those things are reality. The looks are deceiving. There is no better way outside of the place of God. There is no better place than the house of God. There is no better place in the presence of God. There is no position or prestige that is higher or that supersedes the position that God has placed you in your life, whatever it is. To be in the perfect will of God, to live under the covering and the favor of God is the greatest place that you can ever be. You might look at this or that or thus or thus or her or him and think that you'll be happier, but you won't be happier. You'll be more miserable because there's nothing in this world that can appease the soul. It can only appease the flesh for a short while. And then we spend our entire life chasing after things, chasing after position, chasing after degrees, chasing after what we will call happiness. But none of it's real. It's all a facade. The Bible says this entire world will pass away, but His word will still go on through eternity. There is nothing more sure than the word or the words of the Lord. I don't know if you're getting what I'm trying to say to you. We need to be mindful that looks can be deceiving. Whether it's opportunity or whether it's doom and desolation, looks can be deceiving. How do you get your eyes off of these things? Well, the scripture, I'll give you one or two. Luke chapter 21, verse 25. Am I boring you? And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. The sea and waves roaring. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming in the earth. The scripture says that men's heart will fail because of fear, because they're looking after the things in the earth. Because they see what's happening in the world. They see what's going on around them. And so we get on Facebook and social media every day and we preach in gloom and doom, gloom and doom, gloom and doom. I've been sucked into that. I'm not going to deny it. But if you'll notice, I've tried to make a very hard right turn outside of that mess because I've realized that people need something more than what the obvious is. They need to know that within the obvious, there's a God that still has been in charge of this ship from the very day it was christened. There is a God that does not get caught off guard by anything. It's all been foretold from the beginning unto the ending. And so, in all of this, what do? We narrow our vision down. We take our eyes off of the storms, and we focus on the Savior that's in the midst of the storm. Men's hearts failing them for fear. I don't mean this to be cruel, but you got to let me preach honestly. That's what's happened in the last 2 years. This world has been gripped by fear. Gripped by fear. I saw a video of a lady that walked into a grocery store. She was completely wrapped up in bubble wrap and plastic, head to toe. I'm not laughing. I'm just saying that's what it was. Head to toe. I thought, my God, shoot me if I ever get to that place of fear. I'm being honest. I'm not being funny. I don't ever want to succumb to fear to that point where I'm afraid to look and breathe and see. Ever.
What if? I don't live by what ifs. If you know me, put that on my tombstone. You know that's my statement. I don't deal with what ifs. I don't live off hypotheticals. I don't care which comes first, the chicken or the egg. Just give me an egg when it comes. That's all I care about because I love eggs. The truth. Imagine a world so gripped by fear that they'll be offended when you try to preach against the fear. Imagine a Christian so gripped by fear that they quit church when you preach against the fear. I'm not talking about anybody specific. I'm just telling you it's happened. I talk to pastors, and I'm telling you, pastors have lost people in droves in the last couple years. And I'm not talking about from COVID. I'm talking about they've lost them back to the world. We've got people that have sat under the presence of God, under the preaching of God, and they're out there in the world today. I'm not going to go out there and patty cake them and feel sorry for them. You know the truth, and you need to get... Hey, don't tell me you can go to work every day, but you can't be in the house of God. Don't tell me you can't do that. Somebody ought to let me preach for just a minute. Don't tell me you can work amongst people every day, but you can't be in the house of God. It's a lie from Satan. It's a lie. I'm not talking about the here and now. I'm not talking about temporary changes. I'm talking about people who haven't been in church for the last 2 years. I'm not preaching at them. I'm trying to help you understand. You've let the adversary cause you to look at nothing but the fear in front of you. I'm not afraid when I go there. I'm not afraid when I go there. But I'm afraid when I go there. It's the truth. Men's hearts fail them for fear. And for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud of power and glory, great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. When the Lord comes, it'll be such a sight, such a spectacle, you're going to forget about everything else around you. You're going to forget about everything else around you. You're going to forget about everything that's going on in the world. All eyes, the Bible said, will be fixated on that at that moment. But in the meantime, we have to do what David did. And we have to say what David said. And he said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. I will lift up my eyes. I'll take my eyes off the things of this life. And I'll set my eyes on the things above. I'll set my eyes on the things of glory and the things of God. So I don't get caught up in the things in this life. I'm not talking about being reckless. That's not what I'm suggesting at all. Second Corinthians chapter 4. But we have this treasure, verse 7, chapter 7, Corinthians 4 and 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore we speak. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but through our outward man, though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not on the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We look not on the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. I realize I'm not like, I'm not the life of a party. I don't get invited to parties. But I do think a lot. And I've noticed over the last 20 years, 30 years or so, that everything that comes out, it doesn't matter if it's a four-wheeler or a new truck or a new car or a new snowmobile or a new video game console, everything, people are lined up, got to have it. Now, I'm not saying you can't have it, but if you got it lined up and you sleep on it and you drool over it and you got to have it, no matter what the price, got to have it. That to me is a sign that the scripture is being fulfilled before our very eyes. In the last days, men shall be covetous. Got to have it. What Satan has done is, whether it be items or commodities, a guy or a gal, many people have been pulled away from God because of their relationships, because they refuse to listen to the preached word of God, because they refuse to apply the word of God to their life. I will not water it down anymore. We are too close, and I'm done playing games and watering it down. People will go to hell because of relationships. And you got weak preachers all over this county, don't have a backbone in them, that won't preach the truth to help people pull themselves out of their situation. And I'm not saying who that is. I'm just saying if you won't preach against sin and unrighteousness, you should not be complaining about the Ten Commandments being pulled down in courthouses across this country when you yourself won't even preach the Ten Commandments on your own platform. We're not perfect. It's a balancing act, but we've got to make a stand for the principles of the Lord. So, the adversary has got us focused on everything. I'm not talking about one thing. Don't worry. Some of y'all are thinking I'm preaching to you, and the next person down the road from you, the aisle from you, is thinking I'm preaching to them. And because we're preaching to everybody. And for everybody, it's going to fit somewhere. There's some people, their eyes are on their computer screen, on things that shouldn't be on. There are some people, their eyes are on always got to have. Some guys got their eyes on someone else's woman. Some women got their eyes on some other guy. There's some people whose eyes are only on their circumstance. It's only on their plight. Some people's eyes are stuck in their past. Some people's eyes are stuck in the moment. But I've come to you today to make this one appeal to you, and that is this. As we close the pages on 2021, I don't want you to look back and look at what was wrong or what is wrong. I only want you to look back and look at what was right, even when everything looked wrong. Let's talk about those people that have died because of COVID. If they were a child of God, they're dancing in the streets of glory at this very moment.
We're complaining about somebody who's living something we all are wanting to inherit ourselves, because we're putting more emphasis on the breath that we breathe than the crown that we receive. You can tweet that out, because it should become viral. So maybe this year you lost everything that's temporal. What did you gain in your spirit? Maybe this year you had to make some sacrifices. But what did you gain in glory? How many jewels in your crown did you gain? Maybe this year you had to walk away from some things. Maybe you had to walk away from some people. But what did you gain in eternity? What pathway is being laid and set out before you? Don't look at what was wrong, but look back at what was right. Well, I don't know, Pastor, if I could say anything that was right. Really? Are you still here? Really? Has God still blessed you? Are you still filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost? Do you still carry His name? Do you still know the truth? Have you bought it and sold it not? There's a whole lot to rejoice for that's far beyond the temporal things of this life. We need to be mindful as you go into 2022 that looks can be deceiving. You may look at something and think it's better, but it's not. You may look at something and think you'll get farther, but you won't. You may look at something and think it'll be easier, but it won't. It's all the voice of a lying adversary. If we will simply only look at who He is, look at where you have come from. It might not have been without complaint. It might not have been without distress. But look at where you were and look at where you are. Look at what God has brought you through. Every person in this building can look back at your life and you can see what God has done. And for some of you, God is not done. And for some of you, God is just beginning. When I was praying the other day and the Lord gave this to me, here's one thing the Lord said to me. I've given you testimonies to share. The only reason Peter and Paul were able to look down at the lying beggar and be a blessing to him. And a blessing is not giving somebody in need just the next dollar bill, as they proved that to us. But he looked down on them and said, I don't have what this life says you need. But what I do have, if you look on me, I give to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they had to have that testimony, Brother Kenny, in order to give that to somebody else. They had not to be walking on their chin. They couldn't have been walking by that day complaining about how bad their life is and complaining about how God has forgotten them. Had they not been fixated on the things of God and what He had done, they would not be able to speak such words to Him. But see, your eyes have got to be on the harvest, because if they're not, you have forsaken your great commission. Testimonies. Can I ask you a question? If right off the top of your mind, without thinking all the negative stuff, if you could think of a testimony you could share right now, I'm not going to put you on the spot and ask you to do it, but would you raise your hand? We all got them. In spite of the last two worst years in the history of our nation and our world, God has still given testimonies. He's still birthing things in the spirit. Victories. He's given you victories to talk about and to share. What's the scripture say? Don't despise the day of the small things. Don't think the little things aren't victories. Years ago, when I was 18, 19 years old, I was selling meat out of the back of a truck in a freezer. And I'd drive around with that freezer full of meat. And I came out to this part, because I was living in Cleveland. I came out to this part to sell some meat. And I ran out of gas on Route 6. No, Route 45. And I was probably about 5 miles from the gas station. I'm telling you, sure as I'm sitting here, I milked that gas tank. Y'all know what I'm talking about, because you do it too. I kept saying, I know I can get there. I know I can get there. I know I can get there. And eventually it just, I sat there and I cranked it. We didn't have cell phones then. That sounds pretty old. And after cranking it for about 5 minutes, Brother Jerry, the Lord is my witness, I stopped. I said, God, just please get me 5 miles to the gas station. And as the Lord of glory is my witness, I turned that key and that truck started. And I drove 5 miles to the gas station without a putter or a sputter. And I pulled in and filled it up. Do not despise the day of small things. Some of you have lost in more ways than just death. But look at what you've gained. What has God done through that? Maybe He's given you a voice where you didn't have it before. Don't despise the day of small things. Mountains that He has brought you across. Who is He? He is still righteous. He is just. He is true. He is love. He is faithful. He is perfect. He is wise. And He sits on His throne all by Himself. It may be righteousness that He has given you that has become your testimony. It may be truth that He has revealed to you that has become your testimony. It may be His love, which coupled together with His mercy may be your testimony. It may be His faithfulness, that no matter how unfaithful you are to Him, He remained faithful to you. Maybe His perfection, maybe His wisdom guided you. I've only come to tell you today that looks can be deceiving. Would you stand with me? I just make an honest statement, and I don't mean this with any, there's no hint of anything else behind it. You may not always at the moment like what I preach, but at least my message doesn't change. At least it remains steadfast. And there's not a place in this world, there's not a politician in this world that you can get a steadfast message anymore. And there's many churches you can't even get a steadfast message anymore. It's the truth. And it's not always easy staying and sticking with the message. It is my hope and my prayer that the Lord allows me to lay on my bed when I'm dying and look at my family and say, I have stayed faithful to the very best of my ability to the Lord, to the principles of God, to the grace of God. And to look at them and say, now you stay faithful to the things of God. As long as the Lord were tarrying, don't you ever sell this thing that you know to be the truth. Don't you ever sell out to fear. Don't you sell out to another voice. Don't you sell out to more things that are more appeasing to the flesh. Don't you sell out on Him because your world might be rocked right now. You hold on to Him with everything that you've got and don't ever let go. You go into this year, everywhere you look, I want you to remember this message. If you look and you think, remember, looks may be deceiving. If you look at that, just remember, looks might be deceiving. But when you look at that book, when you look at the Word of God, it has never changed. It will never change. It will always be the same. When you think on the Lord Jesus Christ, He'll be the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changeth not. There's nothing more secure than the things of God. Would you just lift your hands right now in any way that you feel as you should? And would you just bless the Lord? Would you think about what He's done for you over this past year? Think about what He's brought you through.
Don't lament over mistakes you might have made or think you made. Don't lament over what was wrong, but rejoice in what was right. Rejoice that your name is still written in the Lamb's book of life. Rejoice that you still stand true to Him and to His word. Rejoice, I say, rejoice on the things of God, that you are a child of God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus.
Jesus, so good.
You for all these years away from the Lord, years with the Lord. He stood by you through mistake, through trial, through heartache, everything else. And so have I and my wife and our family. Stand by us. Don't just bail on us because you might not like something or agree with something. And that's okay to say, because that's what we expect of our spouses. You say, well, I'm not married to you. No, but God does marry us as a church together into one body. Yes, he does. And he's very calculated in what he does.